You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We are pleased to welcome Trevor Lane, who is all about the Lakers, senior writer for Lakers Nation, also hosts the Lakers Nation podcast. Trevor, it's great to have you with us on the show. Where are the Lakers now? I feel like one of those old magazines that would say, where are they now? But where are the Lakers now, and what are they doing?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Yeah, right now the Lakers are still in L.A. They haven't headed out to Orlando yet. I believe they've got another week or so, week and a half or so, till they actually head out to Orlando and then start preparing there. Right now, things are still pretty much on lockdown at the training facility in terms of the amount of workouts they can get in and all of that. They can get in there and they can get in some individual work, but nothing as far as any type of teamwork or anything like that goes, social distancing and all the proper precautions being, you know, taking place. So that's where they're at the moment. And it's going to be a little while before all the guys can really get on the floor together. And I know that's a concern for not just Lakers players, but a number of players around the league right now.
We had heard reports of the Lakers practicing, some of them together, at private gyms or a private facility, and that the NBA, or at least some other teams in the NBA, were concerned about them getting an advantage during what is supposed to be a shutdown for the coronavirus. Is that true?
You know what? None of the players will say, and there's probably good reason for that, But yeah, the rumor that was out there started by Bill Simmons and J.J. Redick, they mentioned just they had been hearing that, hey, you know, the Lakers are out there practicing and that they found a place where they can practice. It's a replica of the Staples Center floor and a guy who's got a house in Bel Air. It's actually the CEO of L.A. Gear, Steven Jackson. We heard before that LeBron and Anthony Davis were doing what they could to try to find a court somewhere for their guys to go play. And whether that was individual workouts or group workouts, you know, there wasn't a lot of clarity on that. But if you're in LA and you're looking for a place to go play where professional players can go in and work out, that would probably be one of your top options if you can't get in to an actual NBA facility. It's well known. It's a place where a number of different NBA players have gone. So it has the ring of truth to it as far as rumors go, but I can't officially confirm anything there.
What was the reaction, as best you could tell, to Avery Bradley choosing not to return with the Lakers to Orlando and the finish to the season?
I mean, there's obviously the guys want him out there. Lakers fans want him out there. Of course, they would love to have him out there on the floor. But at the same time, there's an understanding that, hey, if this is you feel like you're going to be putting your child at risk by going and going to Orlando, then of course there's going to be understanding that, hey, that's not a risk that's appropriate to take. And so I know that he'll certainly be missed out there on the floor, but again, this is a unique situation. And if he's made the decision that, hey, this isn't a risk that I feel comfortable taking, then I don't think anybody is truly going to fault him for it, even if there is that kind of disappointment that he won't be able to be there with the team.
Trevor Lane is the host of the Lakers Nation podcast with us live here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Who replaces Avery Bradley and grabs those minutes?
Well, most likely we're going to see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Bradley had something of a fracture in the leg, as I recall, earlier in the season. And so he missed, I believe it was 14 games. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope popped into the starting lineup for him at that juncture, and the Lakers went 13-1 in those games, so they did pretty well. So I would imagine that Frank Vogel probably goes back that direction, but that we're probably also going to see an uptick in minutes for a guy like Alex Caruso, who's probably the closest on the team to at least replicating Avery Bradley's ability on the defensive end of the floor, and that's the real big loss when you're losing a guy like Avery Bradley, is what he brings on the defensive end. Right. And so Alex Caruso's minutes probably go up. And we could even see a little bit of Deion Waiters. And if they bring in J.R. Smith, somebody like that, a number of different options for the Lakers to turn to at guard. So Frank Vogel's got options out there, but I do expect KCP and Alex Caruso to probably do most of the heavy lifting there.
So, Trevor, we know the eight games, they're called seeding games, right? Even though the Lakers at this point are the top seed in the West. Clippers, Raptors, hello, Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Pacers, Nuggets, Kings. When you saw that, what was your reaction?
I thought, wow, that's a difficult schedule. I wasn't anticipating seeing Clippers, number one. We had kind of had a little bit of an inkling of what it was going to look like, but I didn't expect to see Clippers there right out of the gate. It's going to be interesting. You know, if the Lakers win that first game, that pretty much shut down any threat of them falling out of the number one seed. But if they lose it, then maybe things get a little bit interesting. But look, it is a tough schedule. There's a lot of teams who thought they had a pretty easy schedule heading into the home stretch. But then because those bottom eight, or the delete eight, as they're being called, teams aren't going, those teams that you could have racked up wins against, they're not there anymore. There are no real easy games on the schedule anymore, unless, I guess you could look at the Phoenix Suns as one of them, or the Washington Wizards or somebody like that. But for the most part, you're going to have a tough schedule no matter who you are, but the Lakers schedule does look particularly difficult to me.
I kind of feel like, though, for a team with as many veterans as the Lakers, who have championship aspirations, so they're not just playing out the string or going because they happen to fall within, you know, the 22 teams. This is probably a team that was most eager to get back on the court because A, LeBron is later in his career, and B, the Lakers have been out of the mix for so long. So I kind of feel like the Lakers have this great opportunity, and maybe the tougher games are the right warm-up for them because they want to get back into that championship form as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know what, they absolutely do. We know that LeBron was in the guy's ears and saying, hey, you know, make sure you're staying in shape and you're staying ready because, you know, we've got business to go take care of. If the Lakers can get out there and get some tough teams right out of the gate, yeah, I mean, maybe that does help sharpen them a little bit quicker than if they had some easy games on their schedule. But I also wonder, you know, how much will Frank Vogel look at this as like a preseason type experience where maybe he's feeding less minutes to guys like LeBron and Anthony Davis in certain games and keeping them healthy and keeping them rested and things like that. So at some point I think that's going to factor in as well. But yeah, you're right. Look, if you're going to tune up against anybody, might as well be against some of the best.
Mm. Trevor, I saw that you retweeted a quote from Adam Silver last week in which he says, "We're coming back because sports matter in our society. They bring people together when they need it the most." Now, some people meet that with cynicism and will point to the big money and say, yeah, great, sports matter, but mostly it's about the bottom line. What's your reaction when you hear people talk about the NBA or any other sport returning because of, say, a public responsibility and because of the place that sports have in the United States?
Well, I mean, I think certainly the money is going to be the driving factor, right? But Adam Silver can't just come out and say, hey, we need the money, so this is why we're coming back. You're going to always put a positive, spin on it. That, you know, that's what you have to do. But it doesn't mean that he's wrong either, right? I mean, look, the money can absolutely be the driving factor. But that doesn't mean that sports coming back doesn't also provide us with that little bit of normalcy. I mean, I've been watching more UFC fights than I have in years, just because being able to see that, being able to have sports on TV provides that normalcy. English Premier League soccer, the Bundesliga, right? We've got MLS coming back. MLB, despite their best efforts, are coming back. This is something that was part of our routine in this country. And so to get that back, being able to watch sports again, I think that even as in these difficult times, it provides that feeling of normalcy. And I think that's much needed right now.
How much do you believe, and of course your perspective is the Lakers, but how much do you believe that the commissioner is respected and has a strong positive relationship with the players in the NBA?
I think that he does. I definitely think that he does. It seems like they are listening to the players and taking their advice now. And this go-round, obviously, there were some players who didn't feel like their voices were being heard. That was mostly the stars that were getting heard. But in general, you look at the way the NBA has gone, it's become more and more player friendly. The players are having a voice. They're being encouraged to speak their mind on social issues and all of that. So I think compared to the other sports leagues, Adam Silver is doing a real good job in terms of keeping the players involved and just developing that relationship with them.
Trevor, before I let you go, just about 30 seconds, but how excited are you about the fact that basketball may soon be on the court again?
Oh, I am through the roof with excitement. I've been going back over the last few days and rewatching old games just to kind of, you know, get ramped up and get ready for it. So I am thrilled. I can't wait to see basketball out there on the floor again. It's going to look different. There's going to be no crowds and all that kind of stuff, but I don't care. Bring me basketball. I can't wait.
You can follow Trevor on Twitter at Trevor_Lane, covers the Lakers and hosts the Lakers Nation podcast. It's good to have you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes live.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.